All right, Talk Task Force, this is take two of our first meeting. And earlier today, the Queen of England died.
I know, it's crazy, man. 96.
That is crazy.
Longest reigning monarch ever. 70 years.
70 years. My grandparents have known nothing else. I mean, they're not from England, so it's not like it matters to them.
Yeah. I think it's funny, too. You're seeing all sorts of people like, oh, my God, the queen is dead. But, like, most days, you know, they're not even thinking about it. It's like,
exactly.
It's just, you know, something you don't think about. The queen, for many of us, you know, here, the queen's just always kind of been there.
Exactly. I wonder how her legacy is going to change now.
I don't know. What is her legacy? That is the question. Other than being, like, the longest reigning monarch.
I don't know, because she...
I don't know either.
Was she around during World War II? I don't think she was queen yet.
No, she didn't take the throne until 1952. Okay. So
she did kind of have that whole Maggie Thatcher phase. I don't think that's her fault, but...
Yeah.
You know, she was still in charge while that was going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not good.
That's crazy. They had what? Punk rock started under her reign?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So much stuff.
British blues.
Beatlemania. Literally
Britpop,
everything.
Oasis.
Oh, are you an Oasis guy at all?
I am, actually. I do enjoy Oasis. Are you? Would you consider yourself?
I like Oasis. I like some of their stuff. I'm not like a true like huge fan in terms of like knowing a lot of stuff, but... They're pretty cool, even though they are very Beatly at times. I mean, I love the Beatles, but, you know, you hear a tune like She's Electric, I'm like, it sounds like a lost Beatles tune. You hear the guitar, it sounds like he's just playing George Harrison.
It's a little heavier than the Beatles, which is why I like it.
You like the song Morning Glory?
I do.
I love that one.
That's the second album, right? Their second.
Yeah, that was the big one, you know, with like that, Champagne, Supernova, Wonderwall. My band did that song over the summer. It was always a fun one. Had so much energy to it.
What kind of music does your band play? Just a cover band?
Yeah, it was mostly covers. Really, it was kind of all over the place from the 60s to now. Mm. Like, you know, there were some Beatles, Creedence, Floyd.
Nice.
Then, you know, a lot of 90s stuff like Green Day, Blink, Weezer. Okay. And I'm trying to think. There were some Foo Fighters. But then, like, we were doing, like, we did this pop punk version of Blinding Lights, and that was...
Wait, who's that by? By
The Weeknd.
Really?
But we found this pop punk version on YouTube that's so good.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I was like looking one day, and it showed up. I'm like, wow. And then we did it at a local battle of the bands. We also do stuff like Wolfpack. We did an instrumental by them. You know that song Beggin', the one that was the TikTok one?
Yeah, that's by that...
Yeah,
the Italian band. What are they called? Like Maneskin?
Yeah, Maneskin or something. Yeah. But we did that one, and that would always be crazy.
People like that song?
People would go nuts for it.
Nice.
It was fun, though, like getting to do it. Like it was, because you had to be like right on the money with it, especially the vocals. Because we had two singers, so like they like split it up and went back and forth. It was really cool.
Do you have two singers? Is one like just two different octaves, or
yeah, it's one guy and one girl, our bass player and our keyboard player.
Okay, nice. How many five members then?
Yeah, five piece.
You play the drums, right?
Yes, sir.
Nice. Yeah. Holding it down in the drum set.
Oh, you betcha.
What's it called? I have some friends who are starting a band up at here.
Oh, cool.
It's do you know hardcore like punk music at all?
A bit, not too much. Mm.
There's a nice little punk scene in Connecticut.
Really?
It's nothing too exciting.
Interesting.
You know, you'll go to a concert and it'll be the same 50, 60 people that show up to every show.
Good
but,
to
you
know,
it's a nice little scene.
Yeah.
That's what sucks about UConn is there's not a great music scene up here.
Yeah.
You go to UMass Amherst, you go to a concert every night there.
Really? Good scene?
At least that's what I've been told. So,
good to know.
Yeah. So, back on Oasis.
Yes, Oasis.
I think that their first album is my favorite because it's a little underproduced. It's a little raw. It's a little gritty. Fuck with it. I like it.
Nice. Like, I'm not familiar with, like, a vast, like, majority of, like, a lot of the albums and stuff. I'll admit that. I haven't taken that much of, like, a big, deep dive into it. Not as much as I should have.
Yeah.
Like I said, the stuff I heard, I love. But if you want freaking a band where that just broke down in terms of relationships,
They're brothers, too. They're brothers.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know the story of like when they broke up, right? They were like backstage at some music festival.
Did they make it to the 2000s or did they break up in the 90s?
No, they broke up 2010 is when this happened. They
so
somehow survived the 2000s.
I always thought they broke up in like 2003 or something.
Really? Yeah, but like Noel and Liam, they just hated each other and they had this huge argument backstage like before some music festival in 2010.
Mm, that's too bad. I hate to see brothers break up like that.
Yeah. And it's funny too because I had this... I had this high school history teacher, big Oasis fan, who happened to see them in England on that last tour.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence.
I know.
What are some other good 90s bands?
Other good 90s?
Do you like Weezer? I know you said you
like Weezer. I do like Weezer. They're a meme, but they really do have... The Blue Album, it's...
One of the greatest albums of the 90s,
exactly.
I think.
There's, I agree with that. Like, if you just look at like how that album opens, like, My Name is Jonas, No One Else, World Has Turned with Left Ear, Buddy Holly, and the Sweater Song, to open an album with those five songs, it's just wow.
Do you know E.O. Smith High School?
Maybe.
So E.O. Smith is... This is not going to go out on air, so like, you can dox it. It's just a conversation. Sure. Where do you live on campus?
At Watson Hall down
I live
alumni.
In Watson freshman year.
Really?
So E.O. Smith is a high school that is from Watson. Do you eat at South Dining Hall?
Yeah.
You can see it from South Dining Hall.
Oh, yeah.
It's that high school. That's where Rivers, how do you pronounce his last name? Rivers Cuomo?
Rivers Cuomo?
That's where he went to high school.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, that's where he went to high
school. He went to high school there.
He went to high school at E.O. Smith and then moved to California. Weezer's not a Connecticut band.
Yeah.
But he is an alumni of E.O. Smith High School.
I had no idea.
That's UConn's little flex. That's Storrs' little flex.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no,
wow.
That's why my parents went to UConn during the 90s, and they would always play Weezer in the bars, which... You know, you wouldn't expect to hear that.
Imagine you walk into a bar and Buddy Holly just starts playing
Weezer music. No, it's crazy. It really is a small world.
Yeah, man. You know, Weezer really does have some good stuff.
Yeah, no.
You know, everyone looks at them as a meme, and even Weezer fans do. Like, the people who hate Weezer the most are Weezer fans.
Exactly. What's it called? I've been going through a second Green Day phase.
Oh,
I was hating on them for
a
while. What's it called? My friend got a... Brought over Dookie on vinyl.
Such a good album.
It was getting me excited.
That album is crazy.
It is good. It's good punk rock.
Absolutely.
I love the three chord punk. That's all I need.
It's good. It's simple. It speaks to the human existence,
exactly.
Man. Like when I come around, it's been like my anthem like the past 2 years.
Yes,
you know,
for
just
sure.
Like when I think back. Of high school and stuff, like that song will like be playing. That or like Basket Case. Like I would always blast that on my way to work over the summer.
I love the intro to that album too. It's just a couple of snare drum hits and they go right into no build up.
And just there's so many
just
so
pure
many,
energy for
so many good
long it runs.
So many good songs on that album, you know. It's
not a big
crazy.
Fan of what's it called? What's their second biggest? Are there other big albums?
American Idiot.
Not a big fan of American Idiot.
Yeah, that one's... Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting. It's different. It's a rock opera. You know, it's not the same energy. There's still some great songs on there.
For sure.
Like, Holiday captures, like, kind of that early energy. That's a good one to do live as a band. If you ever have, like, a big stage, my band opened Battle of Bands with that.
Which Battle of the Bands was that?
This was just a local one on Long Island.
Okay.
It was like right down at one of the beaches. Like we were set up in the parking lot on this stage. And it was cool because our rhythm guitar player, the week of the show, he had the idea to get a megaphone for, the representative from California has the floor line. So I did that live, the show, and people were just going insane.
That's crazy. How many people came to that? Was it
It was a couple hundred.
Oh, okay. So it was legit.
Yeah, it was legit.
Was
we had like four bands.
I thought you were
going
to say like 10, 15
people.
Oh,
no.
No,
and
you
we had
100
like,
people.
And we had like four bands competing. And
really?
Yeah, and we won it. That was our second year in a row.
Did you guys get anything from it? Was it
Yeah, there were some prizes. They weren't that good, but, you know, just to be up there in front
just
of all those people.
Just the glory and for the ego. What's it called? There's a Battle of the Bands at UConn.
Yeah, I saw about that.
It's I'm a Wisp employee. I probably shouldn't be saying this. It's all right. Like,
yeah.
It's good. It's not a lot of good bands at UConn. Yeah. I won't speak anymore on that because one of the bands works at Wisp too, and I don't want to cause some beef or some drama, but it's a fun thing to go to. You know, you get to see the students play, so...
Yeah, it seems really fun. Like, I'm trying to find some musicians up here. I've met some folks. Like, there's a guy in my dorm who's this phenomenal keyboard player.
Really?
And we hit it off immediately because we started talking about, like, Steely Dan, Dead Fish, and I'm like, let's go.
Nice.
Like, we were listening to... I brought my vinyl turntable up with me and a couple albums
I got a whole sound system in my apartment.
Oh, nice.
What floor do you live on Watson?
Second.
Are you in the a learning community?
I'm in humanities.
I was in humanities.
Really?
My freshman year.
Oh,
I was
cool.
Oh my god, freshman. My god, this is like before COVID. Is Dabney still involved in that? Is that
Dabney?
He might be moved on because he might be a PhD candidate now.
The professor?
Like the, not the professor, but the guy under him. Is Professor Dyson still running it?
Yes, he is. Professor Dyson. He's really cool.
Ask him about the scar on his arm.
The scar on his arm.
Have you seen it? He kind of keeps it covered.
I don't know.
He's got this big scar that runs from here to here. And, you know, you wouldn't know it if no one told you. Yeah. Like, he didn't say anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
When he was young, he told me this my freshman year. Apparently, he fell backwards and his arm just went the opposite way. Ugh. Hence why he has a big scar there now.
Interesting.
What room number are you?
216.
216. I was 221.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. A lot of good memories in Watson. It's a fun place to live.
Yeah, we got some good folks on our floor. Mm. Like, luckily, you know, I've hit it off with some folks, you know, we get together and stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
Nice. Do you still have that UNIV class? Or?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So it's good, though. Like, I think we're taking a trip to New York City in, like, early part of October.
We went to the Met, and it was the first time I've ever been to the city.
I've never been to the Met. Like, you know, I live on the eastern end of Long Island, but like I don't really go into the city that much. Yeah, no, I got no desire to. Really.
I drove to Brooklyn for a concert.
Oh boy. Where in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn Steel. That was the name of the venue.
Brooklyn Steel.
It was
I don't think I know that one.
It was like a converted warehouse. It was a hike. It was an adventure, I will say that. It was really a bit of a journey, but it was well worth it.
I remember when I was young, I was like, how old was I with that? Like, maybe I was 9 or something. Me and my parents, they took me to see Further. It was, at the time, the, you know, Grateful Dead, like, continuation project. It was at MCU Park. It's like that little minor league baseball stadium right at Coney Island. And that was a really cool scene there. Mm. Getting out of there, I think, was interesting. It was a good show. I remember Dear Mr. Fantasy from that night.
I've been listening to a couple of
Dead and Co. busted it out this year on tour.
Really?
It was really good. You know,
where did you see them? Because they came to Hartford, Connecticut.
So this summer tour, I saw the tour closing shows at Citi Field both nights.
Okay, so you went to the city for that then.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so those shows were a lot of fun. Like, night two, just, it opened up with, like, this playing in the band into Uncle John's band. Great transition, because the band was on fire.
Nice.
Now, I've seen, I think I'm up to, like, 20 Dead & Co. shows at this point.
You should get a little resume going for that. That's pretty impressive.
I think I saw 4 shows in a week. At one point, it was in October, November 2019, they did this fall fun run, they call it. It was like a mini tour, and they did 2 shows at Madison Square Garden and then 2 shows at Nassau Coliseum. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, we got to go to all of these. And the Halloween one, that was the first show after Robert Hunter died.
Really?
So I'll tell you, so here's what happened. To open the show, Bobby, Mickey and Billy came out, and Bobby's wearing this funeral kilt, and they open with Ripple.
Interesting.
And it starts off with, you know, just the 3 of them, but then, you know, the rest of the band comes in, and it was just so cool.
Interesting.
And then the rest of that show was all, you know, tunes, you know, that Robert Hunter wrote lyrics for, and it was insane. Like, Terrapin was great. Eyes of the World was simply electric. I'll tell you what, one of the most underrated things that Dead & Co. is doing, they have transformed They Love Each Other into a showstopper.
Really?
It's because Jeff Comenti on that, on the organ. You know, he plays Brent Hammond.
In what?
In Dead & Co. He uses Brent Midland's Hammond B3 organ.
Interesting.
Just, you know, without all the stickers.
Did he die in the 90s? Is he the one who died in the 90s?
Yeah, 1990. Yes. Overdose on Speedball or something.
I was just, what's it called? I just watched the documentary, and like I said, I'd never listened to late 80s, early 90s, and I've been getting into his organ playing and his singing recently.
He put so much soul and power into it. Like,
really?
He was, you know, he was very troubled at that time, you know, marriage problems and drug problems, but he just put so much energy.
He channeled it into the music. I mean, I saw a video of him playing, and he was very obviously on drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know.
Just, and the way that, like, him, you know, you've heard me talk about Mayer and Comenti, Jerry and Brent, their connection on stage, like, Brent would just get those crazy eyes, and he would just go off. It was nuts.
He joined in 1979, right? Or was it 80?
79, and then lasted until summer 1990.
Did he was on their, I forget what it's called. What's their 1980 studio album? Was he on, was he
In the Dark?
On that? In the Dark.
Yeah, that's a good album.
Is that 87 or is that 80?
87.
87.
80 is Go to Heaven, which, good songs, not a good
live
album.
Yeah, not a good.
Exactly.
What's it called? 87, or what's it? In the Dark, is that what it is? 87?
Yeah.
That's a good album.
Good tunes on there. Yeah. Touch of Grey, Hell in a Bucket, Throwing Stones.
Mm.
Oh my God. Throwing Stones, when Dead & Co. has been doing that, Bobby has been getting angrier and angrier. If you want a good one, There's one from June 24th of this year, Wrigley Field in Chicago. Really? It was the day that Roe v. Wade got overturned.
Oh, really?
And and they did throwing stones, and you could tell Bobby was like livid during it, and he was just, he was great, and it was something about like, you can buy whole damn Supreme Court today, and you could hear the crowd going nuts, because we were watching, yeah, we were watching the live stream or something. We watched it at some point, and we're just like, oh, he is mad, but it was... It's great.
You gotta love the politics of the Grateful Dead.
Oh yeah.
How you? Do you, I'm guessing you know about the Wall of Sound.
Oh
the Wall
yeah.
Of Sound. I've got a friend who's big into audio engineering and stuff like that. He loves the Wall of Sound. Not a big Grateful Dead fan, yeah. But loves the idea of the Wall of Sound.
Oh, it's a truly crazy system. Like you look at it, it's like whoa. Mm-hmm.
Was Skull and Roses recorded in the Wall of Sound? I think it was. Or was that before? Was
it? I think it was before because like the Wall of Sound was only like part like a couple months in 1974.
Okay. Because, yeah, didn't the whole band fall apart afterward? Or not fall apart?
Well, they took a hiatus. Yeah. And, you know, it was always different after the hiatus. Mm. So
too bad Jerry wasn't able to take care of himself. I mean, easier said than done when you're basically God to so many people. But it's a sad decline.
It would have been interesting if Jerry was healthy in 95. How much longer would the band have lasted? Because it's not like they were really, you know, on that great of terms. They were gone because, you know, they had such this huge organization to support, you know.
It's crazy how they go from, I don't know, it's crazy how the counterculture is absorbed into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Just the mainstream media.
And certainly how the scene changed, because, like, my parents kind of saw that, because, like, they're both deadheads, and they both got on the bus, so to speak, in, like, the mid-80s. They were kind of like that pre-Touch of Grey wave.
Kind of like, almost like the, dare I say, the second generation of deadheads.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
They're not, like, OG in the sense of like those who were there at like the Fillmore and
but
stuff.
They probably weren't. I mean, you have to be pretty old to be an OG at this point.
But yeah, you know, they saw the scene change and they've said, you know, those like 89, 90 shows, they were like great, but you know, there were some weird scenes. Like I remember my dad saw a show in Pittsburgh that like people were like crashing the doors to get in. Mm. No, there were all sorts of incidents. The worst one on one of the last shows they ever did, it was in, July 2nd, 95, Deer Creek, Indiana. Mm. They were doing a show at this amphitheater, and while they were playing Bob Dylan's Desolation Row, all these fans from outside, they crashed the fences down.
Really?
Oh my God, it was ugly.
At the shows.
All while the band is just trying to get through Desolation Row. Of all tunes.
What are your thoughts on Bob Dylan? You a Bob Dylan
fan? I do like Bob Dylan.
I do enjoy Bob
Dylan. He's got some great tunes. As I also play piano and sing a bit, too. Okay. So, like, whenever I, like, want to sing something, I always go to Dylan.
Go to Dylan, yeah. You ever heard of the band? You know the band?
Oh, I love the band.
I love the band. I've been going through a band little phase.
Do you know the song Stage Fright?
Stage Fright. Which album?
Is
that music from Big Pink, or is that...
No, it's from the third one, but... You got to look up the version from The Last Waltz, because the studio one isn't great, but yeah, just look up Stage Fright, The Last Waltz. It's so good.
Van Morrison was in The Last Waltz.
Van Morrison.
What are your thoughts? Hate the politics of Van Morrison.
Oh, absolutely. He's a total jackass now.
Yeah, no, he's the worst.
Right. I'm going to get this out of the way. I cannot stand Brown Eyed Girl. Cannot stand that song.
It's been growing on me.
It's fun, but when you hear it after a while, it's like, shut up.
I know. I mean, I didn't listen to it a lot growing up, hence why I'm getting into it now. Yeah. But Moondance by Van Morrison is a very good album.
Oh, I agree, absolutely. There's some great tunes on there. Caravan is awesome. That's actually, yeah, that's the one from The Last Waltz.
Yeah, from The Last Dance.
Astral Weeks, I think that's like this 1968 album. There's some really cool stuff on there.
Everyone says that's one of the greatest albums of all time.
It does get praised as that. I haven't listened to it in a while. I remember listening to them being like, yeah, this is cool.
Interesting.
So, but yeah, two great albums. But then kind of other than that, I mean, there's not too much to speak of. And like I said, you look at him and Clapton both now, they're just... They're jackasses.
Too bad. Clapton was a jackass in the 80s,
just look back in the 70s when he was like, keep England white. It's like, bro, what are you doing?
I do my best to separate the art from the people.
Yeah, I try.
But Eric Clapton makes it difficult.
I know. A lot of artists make it difficult. So, and then there's some artists where I don't like the music or the people, like a guy like Ted Nugent, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Except, I will say this, I do love the song Stranglehold. Mm. That is a good tune.
Is that the one with the when he's like dressed up as like a cat on the album?
No, that's cover. Cat Scratch Fever. This is opening song in his first album. It's like an 8.5 minute thing. Great song. Only thing I will listen to from him. Other than that, I got no
There's
time for
one
him.
Ted Nugent song I like, and I don't remember the name. I think it was off that same album, though. And
I'm trying to think what else is on that album, because that's the only one I remember.
I didn't realize
it.
He didn't sing. I didn't realize he wasn't
the
lead singer.
Yeah, he doesn't sing
band,
much.
Which is kind of lame, not going to lie. You know.
Well, I mean, Santana isn't the lead singer of his band, and look at him, though.
That's true, but I think Santana's a better guitar
player.
Well,
Santana's a much better guitar player. I mean, he's Carlos freaking Santana, exactly. Man. He's an icon.
That Woodstock set. Have you seen the drum solo in that Woodstock set?
Of course.
Drummer? Amazing.
Carlos Santana is just, I love the band Santana so much. Do you know that version of She's Not There that they do?
Yeah, is that on a studio album? Or
yeah, from the album Moonflower. So it was this old song from the British Invasion, this band The Zombies did it.
Zombies.
So they covered it in 1977, and they transformed it into this Latin rock masterpiece.
You know Black Magic Woman was a Fleetwood Mac song.
Yeah. Peter Green.
Legendary guitar player.
Absolutely.
Too bad he didn't take care of himself as many artists do.
Yeah, it's a shame. Sad. He was at his peak. He was great, but he certainly had an influence. I think, Judas Priest did a cover of one of those Peter Green songs, Green Mona Lisa. Yeah.
Yes, that was. There are a couple Judas Priest records in there.
Yeah.
That's actually Judas Priest is the band who got me into just rock and roll folk, anything that isn't mainstream.
I will say I've never been truly able to get into Judas Priest. I just don't like Rob Halford's voice. I think he's a great guy. He's iconic. I just don't like his voice.
Yeah. I haven't listened to them in years, but for some reason in high school, it just clicked.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've always been more of an Iron Maiden guy and the Maiden versus Priest debate.
Iron Maiden, goated. I was listening to, it's arguably their most popular album, the one with the Trooper.
It's
their most
that?
Popular on Spotify,
well,
I think.
There's kind of two albums that like take the title. Number of the Beast, and then there's Power Slave.
Is that the one with the pyramid on the cover?
Yes.
That one's really good.
Power Slave's got 2 minutes to Midnight, Aces High, and then
Aces High. The vocals on that are insane.
Oh, it's crazy. And then do you know Rime of the Ancient Mariner?
I do not.
It's this 13-minute epic that closes the album.
Really?
It's insane.
Interesting.
And just the way it starts and just kind of evolves, it's nuts.
Nice.
But